all of the stories that Jesus told. He told stories that were true to life. He spoke about fig trees and mustard seeds, cloudy skies, children playing. And why did he tell stories? He told stories because he wanted to impact people. He wanted them to see how divine truth works in their life and the positive result that it brings. Oh, his stories also brought a warning to those who ignored them. We're in a little series talking about compassion and the Christian way of life and compassion in Christ and how they all go together. And we're seeing that a Christian walk does and must include compassion. In the story Jesus told of the Good Samaritan, he not only drives home the point of being compassionate, but also that compassion is not selective. Oh, think of that. Compassion is not selective. In other words, you don't pick and choose who you're going to show compassion to. And not only is it good to know the meaning of the story of the Good Samaritan, but also why Jesus told it. There's a reason for everything Jesus says, and there's a reason for everything Jesus does. And we want to learn those reasons. So here's what happened. A lawyer stood up to test Jesus, and he asked him how to obtain eternal life. Now, in those days, people were always testing Jesus. How irritating that must have been for him, you think? Even though I know he was a lot bigger than that, and maybe it might not have gotten to him as much as it would have gotten to us, because he's bigger. But they were always testing him. And the question was, what must I do to obtain eternal life? So Jesus gave a very practical answer. And he used scriptures. In Luke 10:26, he said to him, well, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And you know, it's always good to go to the scriptures first to find answers to your questions. Go to God's word. It's got a lot of answers there. So he answered in verse 27. Well, here's what it says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Oh, but wait a minute. Wishing to justify himself, in other words, he's pushing the envelope. He said, who is my neighbor? Hey, Jesus, if you're telling me to love my neighbor, okay, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus told the story. That's why he told the story of the Good Samaritan. And here it is, in verse 30. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, Jericho was a very busy business district. A lot of trading went on there. And also, it was a dangerous road that led there. So this man's going down to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. And they stripped him, and they beat him. And they went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, what? He passed by on the other side. Perhaps thinking, hey, this man is dead. If he touched him, he would become unclean and disqualified from his priestly duties until he could ceremoniously wash. I call this ritual over relationship. When you put the rituals of religion over the value of people. Okay? Verse 32, likewise, a Levite's like an assistant to the priest. When he came to the place, he came and he looked and he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. This man made a closer inspection of the man. But it seems like he was playing it safe, because thieves often use decoys to trap unsuspecting victims. So the Levite, he probably looked intently and said, oh, this guy, I don't know, man, might be a trap. I'm not going there. If I go over there and bend over, these guys are going to jump on me. They're going to rob me. He kept going. And then in verse 33, Jesus says, but, and this means something different is going on here. Why? Why is what's going to happen now different from what already happened? Because compassion is not selective. That's why. So Jesus said, but a Samaritan who was on a journey, he came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. Now, a couple of things about the Samaritan. Number one, it says he's on a journey. He's going somewhere. He's got a destination. But he's letting compassion, here it comes, direct his life. The Samaritan was of a different race. The first two guys that came by, they were Jewish. The Samaritan, he was half Jewish, half Gentile. Because the Samaritans were Jews that moved away and they intermarried with other nations, other races. And that's why they were looked down upon by the true Jews, and they didn't get along and they didn't like them. But this guy, he's on a journey. Appears to have a specific destination, perhaps a timetable. Maybe he's on a schedule. He's going to do business. He's got an appointment. But in verse 34, he came to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. They were the medicinal items of the day. Someone said, compassion is your pain in my heart. That's compassion. So it's like a Samaritan, he felt in his heart what this guy was feeling in his body. That's compassion. And it takes feeling what someone else feels to have compassion. And he put him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. Now, obviously, this was a redirecting of his intentions to go to Jericho. He was on a journey. He was going somewhere. But everything was redirected because why? This man was more important than his business. Look at how this guy thought. The man was more important than his business. The next verse tells us why. On the next day, verse 35, I was like, huh, he stayed with him overnight. He didn't just dump him off somewhere, but he stayed with him, probably tending to him. And then he took out 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper and he said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I'll repay you. If he has to stay here a little longer, I'll pay for his food when you feed him. I'll pay for his room while he's using it. Whatever it is, I will take care of that for him. So this Samaritan, this traveler, he must have had a pretty honest reputation because the innkeeper would trust him for any added expenses. It's like, okay, I trust you. Maybe he stayed at that inn regularly. Maybe he had a relationship. But you know what it shows us? How important it is to have a good testimony before others. You want to be known as an honest person because you might have to rely on that honesty one day. It makes us ask the question, what am I known as? Or what do people think when they see me? What kind of person do they think I am? Am I the kind of person that they can trust my word? They trust what I say? Or am I the kind of person that has made many promises and broken every one? See, we all have to ask ourselves that. I think it's important that we look at our lives and ask, what do people see when they look at me? Not what do I see when I look at me? What do people see when they look at me? What do people think when they see me? Not what do I think when I see me? What do people think when they see me? This guy actually had a good testimony, a good reputation for the innkeeper to say, you know what? I'll trust you. And if you come by next week and this guy's here for a week, I know you're good for it. That's a pretty good testimony. So in verse 36, then Jesus pops the question. He said, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? Right? You got the priest, he walked by. You got the Levite, he walked by. You got the Samaritan, he stopped everything. And he helped this guy out. Which one do you think proved to be a neighbor? And he said, well, the one who showed mercy toward him, the one who showed compassion. And then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. You know that command, go and do the same? That is a timeless command. It's timeless. There's never an age when compassion is not needed or it's not required. Compassion never goes out of date. And like we've seen, it's never selective. True compassion is not selective, right? We've been using John 3:16, right, to demonstrate God's compassion. God so loved what? Or should I say, who? The whole world. It wasn't like, well, God so loved some. God so loved the nice people. God so loved the Italians or the Portuguese. God so loved the Australians. No, God so loved everybody in the world. Because compassion is not selective. Think for a moment the compassion God has shown all of humanity by sending Jesus to atone for all of our sins. See, if God's compassion was selective, Jesus wouldn't have suffered as much as he did. Because he would have only suffered for those who could be saved. But he suffered for all people because all people have an opportunity to be saved. That's why. God could have made it easy on his son. He said, son, I'm going to send you to the earth and you're going to die for a few. And the suffering won't be as bad as suffering for the whole world. But that's not what the scripture says. It says God so loved the whole world, everybody in it, that he sent his only begotten son. That whoever, there's the grace of God, whoever believes in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. Think about it. Think about what God has done. In his grace, in his mercy, in his compassion, he's made a way for all of us to be what? Healed. Just like that man left on the side of the road, broken, half dead, with nothing. That's kind of what we were like, wasn't it? Before Christ, that's what we are. Broken, dead to God. We really have nothing going for us eternally, nothing. Until God sent his son. And his son, by pouring out his blood, it was like the Samaritan pouring his oil and wine into the wounds of that man and bringing cleanliness and healing and binding up those wounds. And that's what Christ did for us. He bound us up, and he healed our wretched souls, and he gave us his righteousness, that we can live with God forever. If you have put your faith in Christ the Savior, you are a benefactor of God's compassion. He poured out his compassion on you through his Son, and Jesus poured out his blood for you, and he healed you, and he gave you life. He brought you back to life. But I'm going to tell you something. If you have never done that, then you still remain dead to God, broken, corrupted, infected, in need of a healing. That's why now is the day of salvation. Whenever someone hears the gospel presentation, you know what it demands? An immediate response. Because you don't know if the opportunity will ever come again. You don't know. No one knows. What you need to do is acknowledge that Jesus is God, that he came as a man. And yet, why did he come as a man? So he could bleed. So he could bleed for you. And his blood would cleanse you of your sins. And you can confess him as your Savior and be forgiven. That's why Christ was in eternity past in heaven, sharing the glory of God. I'm sure it was an awesome experience. But he was willing to step down, lay aside his deity, lay aside his glory, and put on human flesh, and submit himself to evil men for us. Because he knew that was our pathway to salvation. Have you walked the path? Oh, it's a path that God has provided, but I'll tell you what, it's narrow. There's another path in the world. It's very wide. Oh, yeah. It's a wide path. And you know what the Bible says? Many are taking that path. Many go that way. But you know where it's leading to? Destruction. That's where it's going. The majority of people are walking the path to destruction. And they're having a good time on the way. And they know not what waits for them. But the path that God laid out, it's narrow, but it leads to life. And very sadly, there's only a few who find it. And if you're part of that few, you are blessed. But if you're also part of that few, then you need to tell people about the compassion of God. God is compassionate. Why? Because he sent his son. Sometimes people think, oh, God is not compassionate because I'm hurting. God is not compassionate because I'm struggling. No, you never look at your circumstances to measure God's compassion. You know what you look at? The cross. That's what you look at. You look at the cross because that's the demonstration of the love of God and the compassion of God. The fact that Christ came is evidence of God's compassion toward us and toward you. That's the evidence. How do I know God loves me? Because Jesus came. That's how I know. That's the evidence. One person said, if you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. It never goes out of date. It's for all ages. And you know what it is? It's an expression of the nature of God. And the world needs it. You know, like that song. Hey, the world doesn't need another mountain. There are mountains and hilltops enough to climb. Right? There are rivers enough to cross. But what the world needs is the compassion that God offers. And people need to know about it because they're so lost to it. They're lost. They don't know. They don't know. But once they're told, you don't know what could happen. It could change their heart. You think the guy that was left half dead on the side of the road in the story? You think he gave him a new lease on life? And he did something with his life? And he was appreciative that somebody healed him and restored him and gave him another chance? Because he was going to die. He was going to die there. The religious crowd left him to die. That's what religion does. It leaves you to die in your sins. You can be the most religious person in the world, but I'll tell you what, you're going to die in your sins if Christ is not your Savior. You'll die there. So this man that was healed and given a second chance at life, It's only a story, but do you think he went out and lived a life of gratitude and appreciation to what that Samaritan did? I'd say so. The story ended there. Maybe he waited there for the Samaritan to come back to thank him. Say, oh, thank you. You saved my life. And maybe he became a servant to him. I'm going to serve you the rest of my life because of what you did for me. We don't know. It's a story. And Jesus told the story for one reason, that people could learn about compassion. So I'm like, okay, wow, God showed compassion to me. What do I want to do with my life? I want to serve him. I want to serve him with my life. And I want to show gratitude for what he's done for me, because I was lost. And I was dead. I was beaten up by the world. And yet, Christ came along and picked me up and healed me. And that's true. All of us are servants of Christ because of what he's done. You can serve him in your own way. You can serve him with your own gifts and talents. You can be grateful in your own heart. Everybody has a different way to serve God. We all have a different calling. You know, the mom can still serve God. The hardworking dad can serve God. The single person can serve God. We all have our own world that God has placed us in. Not everybody serves on the mission field. Not everybody serves in the church, but everybody serves in some capacity, in some way, because we're thankful and we're grateful. We have been born from above, placed on the burden of Christ. And he took our burden and he wore it. You know what the Bible says? Joyfully. What? Joyfully. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What was that joy? We were that joy. He did it for us. You could say, for the joy set before him, the Samaritan picked up that man, poured in oil and wine, put him on his beast, brought him to an inn. Because compassion is motivated by joy, and joy is motivated by compassion. Like, they go together. Like chocolate and peanut butter. They go together. It's a good combo. Joy and compassion. See, compassion is not an inconvenience. Compassion gives joy. So like that person said, if you want others to be happy, show compassion. If you want to be happy, show compassion. Compassion benefits both sides, the recipient and the giver. That's what's so magical about compassion. Everybody benefits. Everybody. As a matter of fact, in the story, three people benefited. The Samaritan benefited. He had joy from helping someone. The man left half dead, he benefited because somebody saved his life. And the innkeeper benefited because he rented out a room. Everybody benefited because of one act of compassion. It's amazing. The compassion you show to someone could save their life. You never know what someone's thinking. You never know where someone is in their life and what they're about to do with their life. You know, a lot of people are so depressed, and yet many times people don't know it. And people that take their lives, it's oftentimes a surprise to everybody around them. They had no idea. They had no idea that they were that depressed. And when that person takes their life, it's a shock to everybody. I didn't know. I didn't see it coming. And that's why compassion, you know what it does? It heads them off at the past. It says, wait a minute. You are worthy. You are loved. You are important. You mean something to a lot of people. And compassion can redirect their thoughts and get them thinking properly again. Because suicidal thoughts are not proper. They're not. They're not healthy. And everybody suffers. Everybody suffers when someone takes their life. That person might think they're ending their suffering, but they're creating more suffering for others. Compassion changes everything. It realigns the thinking. And when the thinking is realigned, you know what happens? The life becomes realigned. Compassion's powerful, isn't it? You know it. Just like love never fails. Compassion is powerful. Look what God's compassion did for our lives. Turned us into productive people for the kingdom of God. And it's given us purpose and value and a desire to live. It's inspired us to live life. Even in the down times, in the sad times, we still don't grieve as those that have no hope. We have hope. We have great hope. And that hope is because of Christ. Thanks for coming along. I hope these things helpful. I love the story of the Good Samaritan. Go back and read it. Find yourself in the story. See the compassion of God. What lessons can you learn? The value of having a good testimony, a good reputation. The value of being sensitive to the needs of others. Putting people above ritual. All of that is important. Think about that. And we'll see you next time right here.